This is a Mont Bold Christian Fellowship sermon podcast. We hope you find this message enjoyable and inspiring.
Jesus, we thank you for your word, that it is truth, that it is reliable, and we can stand on it and found our life on it. May your name be praised, in Jesus' name. Not quite on script yet, Nigel. I'll see if I get there. Zechariah 4. I've just created a new book in the Bible. Zerubbabel was a good fella. He was a pretty bouncy fella, apparently, but anyway. Yeah. All right, I'll stop now. Zechariah 4, verse 6, and he said, this is what the Lord says to Zerubbabel. It is not by force nor by strength, but by my spirit, says the Lord of heaven's armies. It's kind of a contradiction of terms, don't you think? The Lord of heaven's armies, and it's not by force. I feel like that's a scripture for us today. That as we link in together, and his spirit fills us and imparts to us, that we will actually see victories in ways that we would never. Ask, think, or imagine. I just want to share just something that God showed me on Tuesday night at our prayer night. Because like Deb, I feel the urgency of the season. I do believe that we are in the last minutes or seconds, and I've said this before, of human time. But that doesn't mean that we just batten up the hatches and we just go, oh, well, Jesus is coming back, we'll just sit here safe. No, it's time to get busy. Think about it. If you knew that Jesus was coming back on Friday this week, how would you live your life this week? We don't know the hour, the day, or the time. It's a challenging question. But if we knew that he was coming back on Friday, a whole heap of things that we make a priority today may not be our priority anymore. And he says in the word that we are to be ready and waiting for the coming of the Lord. So I wrote this on Tuesday night. I feel the urgency of the season. There is a quickening in my spirit that resonates that the time is now. Return of Jesus is close, and there is an urgency. To all of us. To all of his children, to all of God's children and bride. I need to interpret my own writing. 2 Chronicles 16 says, you're scanning the earth for those who love you. And what are we called to do? We're called to love him with all our heart, all our soul, and with all our mind. He's looking for passionate lovers and worshippers. Lovers with their own one focus on Jesus. Lovers that spend so much time with Jesus that they look, sound, and act and live just like him. Passionate worshippers that don't care what anyone else thinks, because they can't contain their passion, their love, and their worship. Pure worship is what the Father wants. Radical lovers is his desire. Warriors that roar with the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, and self-control. Warriors that are full of hope. Lovers who know who their dad is and not afraid to show him and declare him. Healed, set free, delivered, spotless bride that knows eternity is our home and our citizenship is not here. And our role is to be kingdom ambassadors of the King of Kings and to represent him to a dying and desperate world. Most of you probably know that, but if you're an ambassador from another country, so if you're the Israeli ambassador in Australia and you live in the embassy in Canberra, when you cross over at the gates into the embassy, it is basically Israel's rules. Everything of Israel reigns over that. Of the US embassy, it's the US land. It's basically being given to that embassy. And our role is to be ambassadors. So that means that when you sit here today, you are an ambassador of the King of Kings. He's commissioned you to be his representative. It's challenging, but it's good. Wake up, my bride, my precious one. Let your beauty be seen by all of humanity. And it does lead into the message that I feel like God's given me, and I'm going to try and get through as quickly as possible. Blind Freddy knows that our world is hurting. And I read these statistics out not to shame anyone or anything, because there is grace for every single thing that we experience in life. But this was brought up this week as I sat with somebody and I was sharing with this young man, and he was sharing his heart with me. And as we talked about stuff, I began to question a few things, and he shared with me that he knew of over 40 people that had committed suicide in the last 3 years. That's one person who knows 40 people. Sorry to bring a dampener down. The statistics are that over 3,500 people commit suicide, and there's nearly triple that that attempt. It's a symptom of a hopelessness in our world. And the largest group is between 15 and 44 men, young men. The stats I have for abortion, there's no stats from the last couple of years, which I found rather interesting trying to find it, but the estimated is that it's about 70,000 abortions are done in this country every single year. We wouldn't have a population needing more people to come into our land if all those babies were born. Sorry to bring a dampener. There is answers. Despite the fact that we've got more mental health support in this country than ever, ever before, we've got more programs, for young people, whether it be Headspace, whether it be all of the different things that are happening in our world, the mental health rates of our country are actually skyrocketing. Statistics are that 1 in 5 Australians have actually experienced mental health that's actually lasted more than 12 months. At 1 in 5, you go, But that actually equates to 43 million people in our nation. The world needs Jesus. Come on, you've stolen me punchline now. Jeez. Yeah. But that isn't it interesting, because I don't say all these statistics to try and bring us down or to make us feel bad or any of those things. Because I know enough of your stories, and if anyone's known my story long enough, you would know my story. I was 15. I would have been diagnosed if I had been going through the doctor system now. But I'd been depressed for a good 12 months or so, and then I ended up where I could have very easily been one of those statistics. It's a horrible place to be. I'm so thankful that the God of hope came into my life as a 16-year-old and it transformed me. And I came in here this week and I sat down pretty much where Hannah is and I felt like God said to me, as followers of Jesus, we are called, we are empowered, and we are instructed to live life in an opposite spirit to the world in which we live. I am not saying that we just sit there and do a name it and claim it and we deny what we are working through and we deny what we're experiencing. No, not at all. Joseph's word said it. You know, we allow the God's Spirit to come to penetrate through our crusty walls that we put up around our lives, and then we allow His Spirit to go deep. And if you think you can do that alone, just you and God, you're fooling yourself. I'm sorry, but you are. And I'm sorry if that offends somebody. But that's why He puts us in the body of Christ. That's why people like Deb are gifted in counseling to be able to sit with people in the deepest of brokenness and bring them on a journey to hope. Because on our own, we can't do it. We need to clone 50 of Debs. As long as all the income came back to your account, eh? Yeah. Yeah. But we have the living word of God. We've got the written word, but we have the living word, and it's time for the written word to become living in my life so I can be victorious like this book says I can be. As I said to you this morning, I'd much prefer not to be preaching this today because I'm fighting this right now in my own life. And I'm not going to get into all the details because it's not my story to tell completely. But I tell you, I was thinking of every way not to preach this message today. But God is who He says He is. We sing, you are worthy of it all, you are worthy of it all. He is worthy of it all, even if I don't feel like giving Him my all. He's worthy of my all, not just my nice stuff. He wants every part of me. Every part. Even the stuff that you don't even want to share with the person that's closest to you. Even the things that we're the most ashamed of. Because we've got a world that is self-medicating itself to hell. And for a lot of people, they're living it right here and right now. And we're looking in all the self-help things and we're looking for all of these things. Meanwhile, God's saying, I'm here. I'm here. Can we have the first scripture up, please, Nigel? And as I say, I am sharing this to encourage myself this morning. But in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 17, it says, the sinful nature wants to do evil, which is just the opposite of what the Spirit wants. And the Spirit gives us desires that are opposite to what the sinful nature desires. These two forces are constantly fighting each other. So you are not free to carry out your good intention. The word that Jen released there was that we can either be fighting with each other to experience the goodness of God together, or we can fight at each other. And there is not, I don't know many families that don't have something where family members are fighting at each other. They're fighting with each other. They're not coming together in unity and going, let's fight for the unity of our family. No, those things. And as a church family, we are no different. We're full of people. And where there is people, someone's going to annoy you, someone's going to rub up against you, someone's going to think differently, feel differently, experience life differently, and you're going to be in a space of going, am I going to ostracize that person because of that, or am I going to embrace them and love them and fight for the relationship, fight for that, for the glory of the kingdom in our lives? Is it easy? No. It's the greatest battle that every single church community has. You might look at a church community that's got thousands of people. It just gets hidden in there because there's thousands of people. It still happens. It's no different. So God is calling us to be a people who will fight with, not at each other or trying to rip each other's throats out, but actually get beside each other and be praying and working through things together. Because if I get healthy, the whole church body gets healthy. If Hannah gets healthier, the whole church benefits. If Simon gets healthier, we all benefit. And together, we all benefit. And if we're all pointing each other to Jesus, guess what? We have a church community that looks like Jesus. And then we do have something that actually offers hope to our world. Next slide, please. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 16 says, so we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time, we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How different we know him now. I didn't put this scripture up on there because it didn't come to me at the time when I was putting this together. But we are to see each other through the eyes of Jesus. We're to sit with him and ask him to show us how he sees each other. Because on Monday night, we watched a video from John Eldridge, and John Eldridge doesn't sort of muck around, and one of the things that he says in that video, he looked across a sea of, this was at a men's conference at the Bethel Church over in America called Brave Co, and he looked out over the audience and he said, you're all posers, every single one of you. So let's just get it out there. You're all posing in some way, shape or form this morning. All of us are. Even for me to get up and speak this morning, there's a part of me that I'm shutting down so that I can get through this. Just being honest. But as we learn how to come to him with those areas that we're self-protecting in, and we learn how to open our hearts to people, and don't worry, there's some people that know what's going on for me. You may have seen me getting prayer at the start of the service. That's what that was about. I can't do this without my brothers and sisters. But we begin to be able to see things through his eyes, and we get the perspective of heaven. In James chapter 1, 22 to 27 and 2, 14 to 26, and for the sake of time, I'm not going to read it. But you probably know that this passage has been argued saying, where people go, yeah, but faith is a gift. Yes, it totally is a gift. You cannot earn your relationship with God. You cannot. And James is not actually saying that. What James is saying is that if I have faith in God, and I put my faith and complete trust in that, then it has to look like something. If the church does not look any different to the world around us, I think we need to be questioning what we've got our faith in. Is it a nice concept or is it the living word of God? Because I think sometimes we like the concept more than we do actually doing the relationship. It's like someone dreaming, oh, getting married's going to be the best. We're going to have the greatest time. We just get life is going to be awesome. There will be no arguments. There will be no conflict. There will be no nothing. They like the concept. They're out of touch with the reality. We have a God who is in touch with the reality of our world. And he wants to transform us so we can love each other, so it looks like something. One of the reasons why the church stinks to so many people is because it doesn't represent him well. And that's not a condemnation thing. It should be an encouragement thing to get closer to him and closer to each other so we look like him. Because he says it's available. Start dealing with the lies, the internal things that I believe that actually stop me from doing it. Because we all self-medicate somehow. And in the moment of conflict, or in the moments when life is doing really, really hard, how we medicate in those moments. Do we run to the foot of Jesus, the cross, and say, Jesus, I need your help? Or do we run to the bottle? Do we run to something else? Do we just try and get really, really busy and all of a sudden your house goes from looking like a bomb zone to being completely perfect and neat and tidy because I just have to be busy. I can't let myself sit with my stuff. Or we go to the gym and do 5 hours at the gym or whatever it is. Obviously, I don't do that. But we can medicate with everything and anything. And the problem is not the medication, because the medication is there just putting a band-aid on what we're feeling and experiencing. And don't you worry, the battle in the spiritual says, if you're feeling down and you're feeling like, if you have a thought in your head, oh, that person doesn't like me, and all of a sudden, have you ever had that thing, that person doesn't like me, and all of a sudden you've got a story that could become a doctoral thesis going off in your head. Guess where that comes from? The enemy grabs hold of the thought and goes, I'm going to amplify that. Yeah, they're every bit of everything you're thinking and more. Have you thought about this? The enemy grabs hold of those things. Why? Because he is robbing, stealing, destroying. So we already know what his mission statement is, and yet we all fall into his trap all the time. Take every thought captive. That's right. The good thoughts and the bad thoughts. When we have a good thought, we need to take that captive and go, that was good. Let's dig that one. Totally right. And our world is depending on you and I getting this. I didn't just read the statistics out at the start just to depress you. I gave them as a reality check of what we're experiencing in our world. So, and God is calling you and me to be an answer. It says, I didn't print it out. I think it's 1 Peter 3. Let me just go to that passage. 1 Peter chapter 3, 13 to 17. Instead, be very glad that these trials make you partners with Christ in his suffering. Are you encouraged yet? So that you have the wonderful joy of seeing his glory when it is revealed to all the world. If you're insulted because you bear the name of Christ, you will be blessed, for the glorious Spirit of God rests upon you. If you suffer, however, it must not be for murder, stealing, making trouble, or prying on other people's affairs. In other words, he's saying, if you do some stuff going on there, if you're gossiping, if you're going out and you're killing people, if you're committing adultery, if you're doing stuff, there's natural consequences. You know, don't do stupid stuff. It's basically what Peter's saying. But there's no shame to suffer for Christ. Interestingly, that wasn't the passage I was going to actually read. That's chapter 4. Good passage, though. So let's go back to 1 Peter 3. Now, who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing good, doing what is right, God will reward you. That's why we need to actually be willing to walk through some stuff. You will be ridiculed for being a Christian. You will be ridiculed for believing in the great big fairy in the sky. That's only one of the many degrading terms they use of Father God. You'll be mocked. But they do not worry or be afraid of their threats. Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord. And if someone asks about the hope, and this is the key, we need to be so full of Him. If someone asks about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it. Keep your conscience clear. If people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because of that you belong to Christ. Our world is desperately looking for answers. Desperately looking for hope. And if we cannot live that out as Christians, what hope has the world got? We have the hope, the living hope. Doesn't mean you're not going to have bad days. Of course you will. We're human. But if we as God's people become so full of Him, allowing Him to penetrate our lives, and as you then knowing that He is in you, and you're walking alongside of somebody who has walked through the same circumstances as you have, and you've found hope in that, you can transfer the hope that you have to them. We are not meant to be just isolated and living life alone and just me and Him and get me away from people. No, we're meant to be a hope into the world. We are His ambassadors. We are full of Him. We represent. We are His children. Your prayers are powerful if you're praying in accordance with His will. As I said last night, it was amazing what happened. Absolutely amazing what happened in a lot of ways. We were down at the worship night, and we're praying in a group, and God showed me really clearly that we needed to pray for the young people that party at Suki Lounge in Belgrave. Okay. I know a lot of interesting stuff happens down there, so I was praying that, you know, there would be no overuse of alcohol, no use of drugs, all of those things. But I prayed for a general protection upon the young people that would be there. I don't know exactly what time, but a car was deliberately driven into that building last night. And no one was hurt. The report is that nobody was hurt. Now, I can look at that as being just coincidental, or I can go, thank you, God, for giving that to a group of us that we prayed. He answered our prayers. Because if you've ever driven down Belgrave anywhere from about 12 o'clock onwards, there is usually a great line of people at the front of that place, a great hive of activity. It's the only nightclub sort of in that area apart from the pub across the road. It is a place of a lot of activity. So the fact that a car went through the front window and no one was hurt, I think that's a miracle. All right, I'm going to land on one final scripture. Because it's really easy, especially when if you're feeling like you're in the heat of the battle, that it's all up to us. That's the beauty of the good news of the gospel. He uses us despite us. He wants to be using you despite the fact of our circumstances, even if you've blown it in the natural. He still wants to use you. There is no one in this room that has disqualified themselves. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I've already read the first verse of this, but I'll read it again. So we have stopped evaluating others from a human point of view. At one time we thought of Christ merely from a human point of view. How differently we know him now. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone and the new life has begun. Who knows that it's a bit of a lifetime journey to actually get the sanctification so we no longer live the old way. That's a journey. But in our spirit man, we are a new creation. All of this is a gift from God. See, it's a gift. If I give Miranda, not that I've got this to give her, but if I gave Miranda $1 million, we'd love to be able to do it. I don't. But if I gave her that gift, I'm not talking to you. The reality is it's actually up to Miranda what she does with that gift. Yeah, and you'll get nothing. She could go and wrap it up and put it somewhere and never use it. Wouldn't be very effective, would it? And we can be the same. We can just have our faith in God as an insurance policy, just a quick get out of hell free card. Or we can accept the gift that he wants to fill us and then get out of us and use us, and so that we can be that same gift that he was to the world, we get to be the same gift. Doesn't mean we have to die on a cross like he did. He's already done that. Doesn't need to do that again. But that's what he wants for you and I. Or we can keep it just to ourselves. Oh, they won't really want the gift that I've got. And it stops us. Yet, you know, I know there was a teen that went out on the streets last night, I think around the Lilydale station, and those 7 people gave their life to Jesus. Including a divine moment with a young fella who was in resi care, and one of the people that was actually out on the streets sharing the gospel actually recognized him and said, I remember you. And they shared the gospel with him and he gave his life to Christ. Totally messed up world he comes from. But how cool is God that he put one person that would know and recognize and saw him, saw his value, despite the brokenness and the pain. And this is what God wants to do through us. For God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, no longer counting people's sins against them. So God doesn't look at the things that you've done and go, oh, I'm going to have that little black book with a thing. One of my fun things I quite often say, oh, I'm not going to be at church this week. I go, yeah, I'm going to put it in my black book. I don't really. But as humans, we count stuff against each other. But if we're in Christ, we've got to stop doing that. Because he's done it. If he doesn't count my sins, I've got no right to count the sins of someone else. And he gave us this wonderful message of reconciliation. So we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We speak for Christ when we plead, come back to God. For God made Christ, who had never sinned, to be the sin offering for our sin. Let's personalize that. Jesus hung there for me. Why? So that we could be made right with God through Christ. Other versions say, so that we become the righteousness of God. Brothers and sisters, we need this. Our world needs us to get this. The world needs you to get this. That we are righteous in the sight of God, and we therefore can't help but actually wanting to see many other sons and daughters be reconciled to the Father. Because I know my week this week, if Jesus was coming back on Friday, you wouldn't see me here at the church this week. I'd be out on the streets trying to tell as many people that Jesus is coming back and you need to meet him in a right relationship. It matters. And the reality is every single one of you will come into contact with someone who doesn't know Jesus this week. Guarantee it. There may be someone in this house today, I don't know. If you don't know him and you want to know him, come and see me. I want to pray with you. I want to introduce you to my best friend. Because I don't want to spend eternity without you. And neither does the Father. So Jesus, I just pray that your church, that I wake up and have a deeper encounter of what it means to be your ambassador and be righteous in your sight and then offering that as a gift to every person I come into contact with. I pray for my brothers and sisters in this house. May each one know, really, really know you, the God who has replaced our sinful nature with your righteous nature. That the old is gone and the new has come. May each of us experience new levels of freedom. May each of us look a little more like Jesus this week. May we have a pivot and shift our lives to live in such a way that Jesus is coming back. And it could be today, it could be tomorrow, it could be in a year's time, we don't know. But may our lives be pivoted to that reality. And help us as your church, Father, to get over ourselves and the little quarrels and the things that divide us. May we start fighting for each other instead of at each other. So that every person is victorious in this place. That every person has someone who has got their arm around them and walking this out. Because we're not to do life in isolation. And may your name be glorified in this place.
Thanks for listening, and please check out our website or come and visit us at Mombole Christian Fellowship.